Paul writes to the Colossian church here. What an awesome letter this is. A church that he didn't start. He hadn't been there. And yet this was a church that had gotten started, and it was growing, it was on fire. And Paul has some awesome words of encouragement right here to these believers here. And look what he says here, starting in verse 3. He says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth." Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just want to thank you again for tonight and this opportunity here to just learn and grow together with my brothers and sisters in Christ and this great church family. And what an awesome blessing it is to have your completed word. And what an awesome day it is to just celebrate the day that you defeated death. And Lord, I pray tonight just to be used mightily by you. Lord, just fill me with the Holy Spirit to share your truth, your words of wisdom with everyone here, and help us all to have softened hearts, just ready and eager to learn and grow from your word and to take what we learned tonight and put it into practice, Lord. And we love you and pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So how can we demonstrate our trust in Christ? Well, there's three key ways here in this passage that we can see how we can put this into action. And the first way is by demonstrating Christ's love in the church. Look at verse 4. What a great statement he says here about this church in the city of Colossae. He says, he thanks God for them. He's praising God for them. And he says, why? "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the" what? "Love which ye have to all the" who? "The saints." He's praising God for the love that this church has for all of the saints, all of the believers in Christ. Listen, one of the quickest ways for us to damage our testimony as a church is to not love each other. That's the quickest way. You want to get people as quick as you possibly can out of these doors? Let them walk in and see a church that is at odds with each other. Listen, Paul commends the Colossians church here right in this letter because of what they did. See, they took the love of Christ that was in their own hearts and they extended it out to their brothers and sisters in Christ. And listen, why is this so important to understand? Why is this idea of demonstrating God's love so important to understand? Well, because it's only through Christ, right, that people get the forgiveness of sins and that great eternal hope, right? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man shall come unto the Father but by me." You know, in Christ, we also have this great new life. It's only through Christ that you gain a new life. Listen, you can go out there and you can turn over a new leaf and read a new self-help book, okay? But it's all the same dance. It's all the same song. Some of the factors may change, but in essence, that's all the same thing. The only way to have real change in your life is through Jesus Christ, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a" what? "A new creature." That's not some metaphor. That's reality. You quit being the person who you were before. God says, in Christ, you are now a new creature. See, those old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But not only are you a new creature now, but read later on, a couple verses later, he says, now you got to go out and you have to represent me to the rest of the world. He says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. See, there's an important reason here why we need to be demonstrating the love of Christ. First and foremost, it's the only way for people to get forgiveness of sins. That's what we learned this morning. when Pastor Dan was sharing that awesome message about the gospel. And I saw in two of those services all the hands that came up that said that they had trusted in Christ. That's the only way that they're going to see it. They got to see Christ. But then it's also important because now, once you trust Christ, you have a new life. It's time to start seeing things through different eyes. Start thinking through different thought process. Start putting into practice new things. All those old identities and issues and struggles now don't define you anymore. Why? Because Christ isn't down here anymore. He's not in the flesh. And the only way for people to see the love of Christ is through the local church, as we demonstrate God's love. He says we're His ambassadors. See, the whole point of having an ambassador is to go out and represent someone. Just like our ambassadors go to a foreign country, and who do they represent? They represent the United States. That ambassador is as if the president was there himself. That's the idea. And see, that's what Christ wants us to be here, is to be those ambassadors that go out, to take that new life that He gave us and to demonstrate it out to the world. But it's very hard to share the love of Christ with someone on one hand and despise and badmouth your fellow Christian on the other. You see, it's like oil and water. Those things don't mix. You can't go out there sharing just, oh, Christ is so awesome. He changed my life. What a great, just loving Savior He is. But when you come to church, don't sit next to that person, because you're in for some trouble. Okay? It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't work. You nullify the love of Christ. And I've seen it out there. And what a sad thing it is when believers in a church allow just bitterness and anger and all of this fleshliness to creep in and let that rule their hearts. Because all of those things will start to drown out the love of Christ. Listen, Paul didn't visit this church here in Colossae. He hadn't been there yet. He didn't know what all was going on. But let me tell you what an awesome testimony. How did Paul hear about it? All the word. He says, I praise God and give thanks. Why? Because what I heard about you. Man, they were loving each other. They were loving Christ. They were getting out there serving so much that word spread across the known world. That's how Paul knew about that. What a great testimony, right? Wouldn't it be to go on vacation? You go to, say, Minnesota. Where are you from? Daytona. Oh, I heard there's a church down there called Crossroads. I've heard good things about that. Wouldn't that be awesome? Why? Because they hear the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:3 says, giving no offense in anything. Why? That the ministry be not blamed. Be not blamed. Paul says, watch what you say. Watch what you do. Be careful of what you're letting into your heart, because you may go out there and offend others, and that'll damage the cause of Christ. Listen, when the local church is at odds with each other, not only do they damage their testimony, but then they open a door to Satan's destructive traps. It's one of the quickest ways for a local church to just start falling apart. And you know, I think one thing that we should never ever do here is get confident that we're good to go. It's never let our successes and our highs get us convinced that, you know what, we've reached it. Always stay vigilant. Always stay on our feet. Always looking to the cross of Christ and the resurrection, because that's where we'll stay humble. That's how we won't go out and give offense. We can damage our testimony, but then we allow an opening for Satan. See, the Corinthian church, that's exactly what they did. They got so caught up in the flesh, they got so caught up in their own personal desires, that what they started to do is they started to allow all of these things. And they allowed one thing in that really gave Satan a foothold, and that was forgiveness. Paul writes to them, commending them for making some changes in 2 Corinthians in chapter 2, 10 through 11. He says, "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ." What's he saying? He's saying forgiveness is important. Don't let bitterness rule. Don't let it drown out the love of Christ. Think about the Colossians here. Their love is being spread abroad. Why? Because they're staying focused on Christ. He says, listen, if you don't forgive each other, he goes on, verse 11, he says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Listen, if you've got a spirit of unforgiveness, it's not a spirit of love. One of the best ways for a local church to go out there and demonstrate that what they say about trusting Christ is true is to love their brothers and sisters in Christ. And listen, it doesn't matter what their personality type is. I know I probably annoy you sometimes. And I'm sure you annoy me. And we can just praise God in annoyance together. Right? Because as the old saying goes, it doesn't matter, you're stuck with me for eternity. Right? Because we're going to be together in eternity forever. That's a long time, folks. So if I irritate you, I'm sorry. But we're going to be irritated together for a long time. You know, and it's so foolish to let those things get in the way. It really is. You know, when I think about it, times, you know, that I get frustrated or whatnot, it's, you know, it's all foolish things. You know, the person in front of me is driving too slow. You know, who cares? Right? It's always those kind of things. And it's those kind of things that'll keep your eyes and your thoughts and your heart away from where it needs to be, and that's demonstrating Christ's love. Listen, the local church should be the embodiment of love. We don't deserve God's love, yet He still gave it freely to us. And what a price He paid. You know, because Christ was willing to go to the cross, I should be willing to set aside some just little personality trait of someone in order to demonstrate that same love. Listen, His love was demonstrated in giving His life. And when a local church steps out of themselves and starts looking at each other and lifting each other up, man, Christ is glorified. That's one of the quickest ways to really demonstrate our trust in Christ. The second thing is by resting in your eternal hope. Not only just demonstrating love to your brothers and sisters in Christ, but just really sinking into the whole reality that now you have an eternal hope in Christ. Listen, we have one thing in Christ that the rest of the world doesn't have, and that's true hope. That's true hope. Listen, if they're not in Christ, they don't have true hope. That word hope means anticipation with pleasure. I like that. It's like I have to wait, but just the thought of it just, man, gets me excited, right? It's not like Christmas coming up with the kids. They're like, when's Christmas? Well, it's not another 3-4 months. Right? That ain't anticipation with pleasure. That doesn't happen until like 2 weeks. Ooh, it's like 2 weeks away, right? That's when every 5 minutes, is it Christmas yet? Is it Christmas yet? That's when the switch is with the parents. We're not hoping for that time. No, it's anticipation with pleasure. It's an expectation or a confidence. It's saying, I know it's coming. I don't need to fret about it. I don't need to worry about it. All I need to do is just kick back and think about it and let that awesome thought just encourage my heart. We have the greatest promise ever, and that's eternal life in Christ. We have the most sure expectation of that. And listen, it's unbelievable with this in mind. It doesn't matter what the world sends this way, we have victory. And it's just amazing how we have this great hope, and sometimes we can be the biggest bump on the log. You know? It's unbelievable. It just boggles my mind. And I'm guilty with everyone else sometimes. We let things just overwhelm us. And we start kind of just, boo. It's kind of like the Winnie the Pooh factor. Okay? Who knows Winnie the Pooh? All right, yeah, Winnie the Pooh is great, right? Because there's always trouble. Some kind of trouble happens, right? With Winnie the Pooh, it's most likely he's out of honey, right? What's he do? He's like, oh, bother. Oh, bother. But then he goes, think, right? He comes up with a plan, and he finds a solution. Usually bumbling along the way, but eventually he doesn't let him get it down. He's just like, okay, it's a bump in the road. Let's go find some more honey. I bet, you know, Roo has some, right? A rabbit. But then you got Eeyore, right? We all know Eeyore, right? Oh, it's me. I guess I'll just fall on my face again. Right? He could have the greatest gift of all. I guess it'll just fall apart. That's just my luck. Let me tell you what, there should be no Eeyores in Christ. There shouldn't be. There's no reason to be. Let the world bring it on. Man, I say if the world hands you a lemon, suck it up and focus on Christ. You know? Just take that lemon and... yeah, bring me another, because I've got victory in Christ. And we can get just so down and out, and like I said, like Eeyore. And there shouldn't be. Let me tell you what, life can throw you some doozies, and if it hasn't yet, it will. Right? It will. At some point in time, something's going to happen that's just not the greatest day. That's just life. But it has no bearing on our victory. It should have no influence on how it affects our relationship with Christ or others or the community. Listen, don't let trials and struggles keep you from demonstrating your trust in Christ. I mean, Romans 5, 1 through 5. Listen to this verse. Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's a big amen right there. He's saying before Christ, you were at war with God. Do you catch that? You were at war with God. You were God's enemy. I don't know about you, but that's scary. I mean, God's the creator of all. You can try and mass the biggest army you could get. It is not going to defeat God. But once you trust in Christ, he says you have peace with God. He goes on to say, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We should be rejoicing. Troubles come, oh bother. Think, right? And focus back on Christ. He says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. You see, when life throws you that lemon, you learn from it. You focus on God's truth. And you stand on that. And you know what happens? God takes you through it. And you look back and you go, you know what? God did an amazing thing. And then life throws you another one. And another one. And another one. And you stand in Christ and in Christ. And that works experience. And that experience encourages you more and more as you see more of God working in your life. And the more you see that, the more you rejoice. The more you glory in your tribulations. Because the more you do that, the more Christ gets known, and the more people see how awesome Christ is in this world. He says, and hope maketh not ashamed. You have nothing to be ashamed about. Why? Because you know now, full-fledged, what God can do in your life and where you're going. Listen, the reason we do not have to crack under the weight of struggle is because we have the assurance of victory. The assurance of victory. It is set in stone. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to wonder about it. If you are in Christ, that empty tomb says you are victorious. You are victorious. Regardless of what may happen in this life, you have the guarantee of eternity with Christ. I mean, they can do just like Pastor Dan mentioned this morning with James, right? Talk about a bad day. He ended up being beheaded. But let me tell you what, all that was just a quick trip with his Lord and Savior. They didn't win. They didn't get victory on that day. James had victory on that day. And that's the whole idea. We don't have to crack under the weight of the stress and struggle of this life. We've got that awesome, eternal hope. Turn over in Colossians chapter 3. Look at this real quick. Look at verses 1 through 4. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is what? Our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him, how? In glory. Paul's saying, listen, don't let the world get you down. You've got a day ahead of you where you will be with Christ in glory. Think about this. Your future, regardless, is one of glory and victory. But this victory doesn't have to be put on hold until that day. You can have that victory in your life now. You can have that victory of eternal hope lived out each and every day. As you rest in your eternal hope through life and its struggles, you demonstrate to the world why it is that you trust in Jesus Christ. The third point is, how are we going to demonstrate our trust in Christ? Is by allowing God's Word to grow you. By allowing God's Word to grow you. Go back to Colossians chapter 1. Look at verses 5 through 6. So he talks about their love, which they have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. And how they know about it. Whereof you heard before in the what? The word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you since the day you heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. One of the greatest ways to demonstrate your trust in Christ is to allow the truth of God's word to change you and to grow you. Listen, you should not be the same person you were prior to trusting Christ. And you shouldn't be the same person you were when you first trusted Christ, unless you just trusted in Him today. Let me tell you what, if you've been saved for 10, 15 years, there should be a 10, 15 year difference. People should be able to look at you and go, man, you're not the same person anymore. Let me tell you what, folks, that's how I came to know Christ as my Lord and Savior, because I watched believers. I heard the words they said, but I watched them. I heard them talk about God's truth, and then I saw them time after time after time live it out. Until I finally said, you know what, there's got to be something to this. Because I knew who they were before Christ, and they're nowhere near that same person. Man, allow God's word to grow you and to change you. Paul states here that the reason the Colossians were demonstrating the love and hope is because of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that changed their life, changed their heart, and encouraged them to go out there and to demonstrate it to the world. It's God's Word. It's His Word getting inside you and changing you. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, right? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That basically covers the works. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. How are you going to go out there and demonstrate God's love? Growing in God's Word. Learning God's Word. Applying it in your life. Yielding to it. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick, means alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You can put on that nice glaze, right? I call it the Christian glaze, right? You can be that Krispy Kreme donut, okay? You can look good, right? Just like Clint was sharing with the little kids and the egg. There was the nice, pretty-looking egg, but it was rotten on the inside. Let me tell you what, you can put that on and you can even believe it yourself unless you're getting in the Word. There's many times through the years as I was getting in God's Word, I was reading and I went, ow. Ooh. I need to make some changes. God says it's time to change. Listen, if you memorize the Bible but never allow it to change your life, you will never have a strong testimony with others as it pertains to your trust in Christ. It'll be meaningless. Because you can only go out there and do it in the flesh for so long. You'll eventually crash and burn. That's why you hear those sad stories, right? Those guys out there, pastors and others, that have such a wonderful ministry, and then all of a sudden, crash and burn. Why? They were doing it in the flesh. They were doing it in the flesh. Listen, you'll go out there and say that you trust the Lord on one hand, but on the other hand, you never show any change from the person that you were. We have a great opportunity to share the good news of Christ with others, but it'll never happen unless we're getting in God's Word and we're allowing it to change us. Right? Paul tells the Corinthian believers, listen, I can't talk to you as mature. You're still babes. You haven't grown. You haven't paid attention to God's truth. What a sad story for that to be in your life. You've been saved for a while, but no change, no growth. Man, let God's Word just get in there, change you, convict you, encourage you, and start making those changes. You know, there was three things. Demonstrating God's love to other believers, just resting in that eternal hope, and allowing God's Word to grow you. And you may be out there going, wow, that sounds like a big burden. How am I going to be able to do all that with my schedule, right? Here's the cool thing about it. Here's the cool thing. Listen, it's very important to become a living example of God's grace, love, and hope. The world is in desperate need of God's forgiveness and grace, and it can sometimes seem like an impossible task. The greatest part about this idea of demonstrating our trust in Christ is that Christ Himself lives inside us. And He desires to do the work through us. Listen, it isn't about what more I can do for Christ, but more of what Christ will do living His life through me. And I think that was the secret to Paul. You read through Paul's letters time and time again. What does he say? Right? It's me out there, but no, it's not. It's Christ living His life in me. Colossians 1, look over at verse 27 through 29 as I close up here. Look what Paul says to the Colossians. He says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He goes on, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, but how, Paul? Striving according to what? His working, which worketh in me mightily. Right? Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See, the whole idea is just every day going, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I need you to do it through me. And he will do every little bit of what he says here in his word. He will guide you. He will strengthen you. He will encourage you. Sometimes he'll just blow your mind with the things that you were doing. Listen, if you knew me 15 years ago and you told me I was going to be up here preaching God's word, I would have told you you're crazier than a loony bird. Forget that. I ain't going to do that. And you know what? I still can't. I still can't. Not outside of Christ. Not outside of Christ. Folks, it's not me that I want to have glorified up here. It's Christ. And let me tell you what, that same hope, that same assurance that he's given me, he's given to you, but the key is in Christ. It's through his cross and his resurrection.